Homelessness has many causes: poverty, physical or mental illness, lack of affordable housing or a living wage, substance abuse, domestic violence, to name a few. Estimates are that in the U.S. there are over 600,000 people homeless every night. That includes 5,000 in Kentucky. Changes in the way Lexington provides services for the homeless have caused concerns for some in the community.
Done right and done well, not only can they be a good citizen and a good neighbor, you know, there can be good partnerships there with the local businesses to support one another.
On this week's Eastern Standard, homelessness in Lexington and Central Kentucky. We're interested in your questions, comments, or stories. Write to us now by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Post a comment to the WEKU Facebook page or to the website. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. In a little while, we'll open the phones as well. It's time for Eastern Standard, right after the latest from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. I am John Hingsbergen, and on this Thursday, our show is live, and Pope Francis is in the U.S., in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and following an address to a joint session of the U.S. Congress, the Pope is having lunch with homeless persons in Washington, D.C. Very appropriate and timely opportunity for us to discuss homelessness in Central Kentucky. With the recent approval of the consolidation of two homeless shelters to Industry Road in Lexington, homelessness has been on the minds of many Lexington residents. And today we're going to discuss that issue with two guests in the studio. And we'll get to those guests in just a few moments after we speak with Charlie Lanter. Charlie is the director of the Office of Homelessness Prevention and Intervention for Lexington and Fayette County. And Charlie is responsible for the city's response to homelessness in the community. And I spoke with him last week about his job and about current efforts in that area.
In Lexington, Fayette County, we do a count every year in January to figure out how many folks we have and where they are. And our count this past January found about 1,400, 1,450 people who were homeless in some capacity. Now, what that means is they were either on the street sleeping, or they were in an emergency shelter, such as the Hope Center or Salvation Army, or they were in what we call a transitional housing program. So it may be something kind of like an apartment or a little nicer than a shelter, but it has an end date. You know, it's a one-year or a two-year recovery program, maybe for substance abuse. And so because it has an end date, they still count in our count for homelessness. But if you remove those folks, there's about 570. We have about 650 people in emergency shelter on any given night. And we have anywhere from 40 to 50 people who are on the street. And it can get up to, you know, as much as 100 when the weather's nice, because sometimes when the weather's nice, people will sleep outdoors as opposed to going to a shelter. We do the count in January, so the number's a lot lower because folks are going into shelter to avoid the cold.
How does Lexington compare to other urban areas, to Louisville, to Cincinnati, to Nashville, for instance, in terms of
Sure.
the percentage of people who are homeless?
Well, the one that we've looked the closest at is Louisville. And one thing that was disturbing is a couple of years ago when the city first started looking at expanding its role, you know, Louisville's count was larger than ours, but it was not substantially larger than ours. And since Louisville is obviously a substantially larger metro area, that was very disconcerting. Cincinnati has its own challenges, so their numbers are quite a bit greater. But Lexington, we were struggling with certain populations. I would say that our challenge was not so much across the board homelessness. It was specific sub-areas of homelessness that we had not addressed well.
The services were expanded by the city and the county government, you said, in the last couple of years. Tell us about the nature of those services. I guess that's also what led to your being appointed to this position?
Exactly. So my office didn't actually exist until about 15 months ago. The city did a big commission study in 2013, and then in 2014, they created this office and hired me. And their report that they issued had 40-plus recommendations on things that Lexington could do to improve its response. And those ranged from creating an affordable housing trust fund, which we've now done. The community has about $5 million currently allocated to incentivizing the construction of affordable housing, to more specific things in the area of homelessness, like changing our approach using a housing first model for sheltering folks, to creating a mental health court as a diversion program for people who experience mental illness. We are also working on developing a medical respite program, which is to try and help people who are homeless and have some level of illness or recovery that's associated with their physical health where maybe they're ready to leave a hospital, but they have nowhere to go. And if someone has, you know, mobility issues, they're in a wheelchair or something, that the shelters really aren't equipped for that. So we need kind of an in-between. That's kind of where Fayette County is we need to figure out what are those specific areas that our response is lacking and try to incent and even fund some of those programs.
I've heard reference to the fact that the city was involved in civil suits and a federal investigation regarding its services for the homeless. What can you tell me about those?
Well, there was, you know, obviously there was some disagreement that predated even the creation of this office with a local shelter. And we recently, the council has authorized a settlement agreement that's still being finalized. And basically what that will do is allow that shelter to consolidate its operations. It has both a night shelter at one location and a day shelter at another location, which was really inefficient for them. We're going to sell them a really nice city building that's fairly close to where they were already. And that's going to allow them to consolidate those programs, which allows the people who were staying in the shelter to stay there. It'll be a 24-hour operation, whereas right now folks had to sleep in one location and then get up and walk, and it was a good mile or two to the other location where they would spend their day. And so this allows them to stay in one place and also allows the provision of additional services like employment and job training and access to housing programs and all the various services you would want to see with a successful shelter. And so once we get all that up and running, you know, all of that sort of legal issues, I think, will be put behind us, and we'll be able to move forward together as a community. And I really look forward to working with Community Inn and people that we've been working on that settlement with.
Well, the Community Inn on Winchester, I guess, and the Catholic Action Center on Fifth Street is what you're referring
to. That's correct, yes.
Those are the centers, the services that are being consolidated into a new site on Industry Road in the Eastland area?
Yes, that's right.
Tell us about, you've given us, I guess, a description of what's going to be provided there. I know that there's been some discussion in council for some time, and it was just recently approved. My understanding is that, of course, when you move in a service of this type into a community, a neighborhood, or among businesses, there are going to be those who are not very happy about that coming into their community. Tell us about that and why the businesses and folks who live near the new center should not be concerned about it.
We'll certainly expect some opposition anytime you're relocating one of these services or opening a new facility to provide these services. And I can understand people's concern or trepidation on how that might affect their business or their property values. The important thing to note here is that this is a more appropriate location for this facility. The Community Inn currently abuts to a residential neighborhood. The Catholic Action Center is right in the middle of a residential neighborhood. Neither of those have been particularly conducive to those services and interaction with those communities. The other thing is the change in how the services are going to be delivered, being that it will be a 24-hour facility, are going to alleviate a lot of the concerns that were experienced with the previous existing sites, because people will stay there. So there will be, you know, less back and forth. There'll be no lines out front of people waiting to get into the facility every single night because it'll already be open. The other advantage is because they have significantly additional space in this new facility, they're going to be able to provide a higher level of service. And so they're going to get better outcomes to move people out more quickly. They're going to get better interaction with folks to produce more positive outcomes there in how it interacts with the community. And then finally, you know, we've, as part of that agreement, the city has committed to keep the police presence that's nearby there. Currently, there's a roll call facility that the Lexington Police Department operates in the building that they'll be moving into. That's actually going to stay there for a while. And then even when it does leave, it's going to relocate to a location very close by. Actually within sight of the parking lot. So there will always be a strong police presence. So all of that kind of combines to create a package that we feel pretty good about. Obviously, time will tell, and I've worked with the folks at Community Inn and Catholic Action Center to, you know, they're very aware that they have a responsibility to be good neighbors and good citizens, and I think they're committed to that.
I guess folks in an area that would be affected by the new homeless facility might be concerned about the possible disruption of their lives, perhaps the property devaluation or their businesses being devalued as a result. I mean, what does your research, what is your knowledge of people who are homeless say are people who are homeless dangerous? Are they drug users? Are they people who are likely to bring a bad element into the community?
You just don't see that, especially with well-operated facilities. One that I would point out specifically is the New Life Day Center on Martin Luther King Boulevard in Lexington. When the New Life Day Center first opened, there was a lot of uproar, a lot of concern in the community, a lot of concern on the council. Actually, to the extent that the city passed a day shelter ordinance restricting new ones that later had to be overturned because it was too strict. So there was all this concern about New Life Day Center. Well, once they opened up, the management there, Steve Polson, is the director, did such a phenomenal job with the expectations that they set for their participants there, the people who come and go, to commit that they would not, you know, allow folks to stand on the street corner and beg for money, and they would not allow folks to congregate outside. You know, they created an area in the back where they do congregate for smoking and whatnot. I think that's a great model for how one of these facilities can be an excellent citizen and an excellent neighbor. And in those cases, they were having these community meetings to kind of alleviate concerns. And over time, the concerns declined because there was nothing to be concerned about. There was no increase in crime. There was no increase in panhandling. And no one was coming to their meetings to the point that the neighbors were no longer coming to meetings to discuss it with the shelter. And I think, you know, anytime you operate a facility well, that is the case. I think people's concerns are that they know that in the homeless population, among the causes of homelessness are mental illness and substance use and abuse. And so certainly, you know, those are behaviors that can cause disruption in any location or community. And that's why it's just important for the shelter and the facility to have the appropriate services and be able to deliver on their commitment to make sure that folks interact appropriately. But I think they're, you know, done right and done well. Not only can they be a good citizen and a good neighbor, you know, there can be good partnerships there with the local businesses to support one another.
What's the timeline on the relocation to Industry Road?
I think that's all still in the hands of the lawyers. They're working out the actual legal settlement. You know, I know I've talked to Jenny Ramsey, who will operate the new facility. She doesn't think they'll be in there this winter. I think they're shooting for the spring, but all of that is still kind of being finalized.
Members of the community, citizens of Lexington, Fayette County, who might have a concern about the homeless, what can they do to help impact homeless situation in Lexington, help to improve the circumstances, and support the services that you are providing from the city?
Well, what we're trying to do is to improve the coordination across the community, to make sure that everyone's on the same page and knows what our community-wide needs are, and make sure that what we're doing is moving us toward our ultimate community goals of preventing and reducing homelessness, and then more specific goals, like we're on target to try and end veterans homelessness in our community as soon as this fall. The way folks can get involved with that is to follow the work of this office. They can go on social media. We've got a Facebook presence at Lexington Homelessness Prevention and Intervention. Our website is lexingtonky.gov/homelessness, and there's a newsletter they can sign up for. And that's just the communications piece. We have a collaborative meeting every other month, the Homelessness Prevention Board. It's the city's official board, but it's run as a collaborative meeting where people who aren't even appointed members of the board participate in a conversation and a decision making. And we invite people who aren't just operating a homeless shelter. We invite general public. We have people who are homeless to attend and provide input. And then also just generally, you know, I encourage people to talk with me. You know, if you have questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us and let's discuss maybe how to help get you plugged in if that's something that's important to you.
Charlie Lanter is Director of the Office of Homelessness Prevention and Intervention for Lexington and Fayette County Urban Government. And we are here to discuss homelessness on this week's Eastern Standard. And in a few moments, we're going to begin our conversation with Angela Evans, council member representing the 6th District for Lexington, and Jenny Ramsey, Director of Catholic Action Center and the Community Inn. And we're interested in hearing from you with your questions, your comments, your personal stories about homelessness. The Pope on this Thursday having lunch with the homeless, actually helping to serve lunch for the homeless in Washington, D.C. So homelessness very much on the minds of many people, and appropriately so, here in the U.S. and in central Kentucky. Your questions, your comments, your personal stories invited, WEKU Eastern Standard@gmail.com. Send us a tweet at WEKUEST, post on the Facebook page or the WEKU website, or give us a call, and we'll be glad to get you on the air, 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. Homelessness in Lexington and Central Kentucky is our topic on this week's Eastern Standard. You're invited to be part of the conversation with questions, comments, personal stories. Our program is an interactive program. Please feel free to send us an email, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com, or call 800-621-8890. I am very pleased to welcome to the studio two guests who can join our conversation on homelessness. First up, Angela Evans, council member for the 6th District of Lexington. I guess some council members represent districts and others represent the entire city. Is that how that works, Angela?
Yes, we have 12 districts and then 3 at-large council members.
Well, and I understand you're relatively new on council.
I am. This is my first term.
Well, thank you for joining us here for Eastern Standard on WEKU. We're interested in how our elected representatives to city council view issues such as homelessness. And someone who's been working in this area of homelessness and providing services in the city, Jenny Ramsey, you're one of the founders of the Catholic Action Center and Community Inn, and have been doing this currently, of course, director of the Catholic Action Center. Doing this work for how long?
Well, we're 16 years old as far as opening the Catholic Action Center. But prior to that, there were 4 years of working with Faith and Community Task Force that the mayor had asked us to start just as a way of seeing where the needs and the gaps were in our community.
You come at this from a faith-based perspective, but with a commitment to issues, concerns, social issues and social justice in the community?
We are based in the Catholic worker movement. Dorothy Day's work in the 30s that basically says that we're all, as the gospel does, that we're all responsible for each other. But it also includes the advocacy for people who are left out. When we began the center, we began with town hall meetings that were we conducted with those who were homeless and those who were marginally housed. And they told us the services they needed. We believe very strongly, and it's the voice of our people we're serving is part of what we're to be, because they know, not us. We are a non-funded program, and that's part of Catholic Worker. We are to be here as the response of the community to the most vulnerable, to those who are being left behind. So what we do is simply, it has grown over the years to include many different services, but we are not there to provide services except for the basic human needs. Then we connect to our 300 plus wonderful social services in our community of Lexington.
And we want to hear more about the specifics of the services provided, and I'm sure you'll have some observations on the Pope's visit as well during today's program. Angela Evans, as a council member, an elected official representing the 6th District in Lexington, what is the council's role when it comes to an issue such as homelessness? I know the city has recently made a renewed commitment to the services, and then this step this year of consolidating these two facilities. Is it just a logical, I guess, extension of that concern?
Well, I think council's role in general is to set policy and pass ordinances and pass a budget. And I think within where we allocate funds is where we can have a role in how we help the homeless population, which is what the previous council did by creating the Charlie's position and funding the Affordable Housing Trust Fund and creating his position. So I think that's how council operates. That's their role in how they do that, and where we come in by setting the policies and acknowledging that we do have a role to play. And what is that role? It's setting the policies out, creating the ordinances that will allow things to happen, and providing at least some funds for those programs to begin.
You spent some time as a public defender?
I did, yes. That was
Which means you've been working with many folks in the community who might be concerned about some of the very issues we're discussing.
Absolutely, and that was probably the first week I was in office. One of my first meetings was with Charlie Lanter because of that very reason. I had been a public defender for 5 years in Lexington and knew that population and was very excited about how he was addressing the homeless situation, because we, the city, were spending a lot of funds on very few individuals, but they were such high need individuals, and I was just fascinated with the concept of that and started you know, spouting off names of clients that I'd had. And he's like, oh, you know that person?
Wow.
I'm like, yeah, I do. So, yes, they do need help, and we do need to figure out a different way of assisting, you know, those individuals.
So let's go right to this issue of the relocation of the services, the background behind the decision that was made, I guess, just earlier this summer, finalize the move that will move Jenny's services and the I guess, both of the services that are being consolidated are really something that you have been responsible for already, the Community Inn and the Catholic Action Center.
And our God's Net location, which is where people, more than the homeless, are given services.
So, yeah, tell us briefly, and then I want to talk a little bit about the background and the discussion. What's going to Industry Road in Eastland now?
Well, we will have the Catholic Action Center, which is our house of hospitality at 5th and Chestnut. That is the mother of our ministry. That is what we opened 16 years ago. The Community Inn, which is the night shelter on Winchester Road. To back up a minute, I'll tell you, Catholic Action Center is open from 8 in the morning till 7 at night, 7 days a week. The Community Inn is open 7 at night to 8 in the morning, 7 nights a week. So they're the two places that at this Catholic Action Center. It's 3 meals a day, it's showers, it's toilets, it is mail service, it's people being able to use the phone. This is what the folks had told us years ago, and we have added a few things here and there as times have changed. But basically, it's a house of hospitality where people are welcomed and their basic needs are cared for and then connected to the social services that our city has. The night shelter is a safe place for people who have nowhere else to go. That's the other thing, is our folks are the ones who often mostly have been turned away by the funded services of our community for good reason. And we bless them. We are here to be able to fill in the gap. That is our purpose. So then we have God's Net, which is open 10 to 2 Monday through Saturdays. I'm not trying to do an ad for these. but it's where people can shop for free. It's where the community donates their excess, things like clothing, household goods, sometimes furniture, but all the things that people, even living in poverty, can have for free.
But without the night shelter, for instance, how many persons are we talking about? 400, 500 persons might be sleeping under bridges, might be sleeping on benches, might be sleeping in doorways of buildings?
Well, over the years, absolutely. Yeah. And over the years, having been able to watch this and be part of it and, you know, be an advocate for our folks, we have seen the different changes and things increased. The sad news was that when the Great Recession hit, our folks who even were not on the streets, who now are, fell off the truck. You know, they were the first to go as far as work. We had one 58-year-old man. I mean, I have to tell his story. He came to me in tears one day saying this. He never believed this would happen. He'd worked since he was 14 years old, and he had no income now, and he'd lost his place to live, and he was there any help? He's the kind we could take in, get stabilized, connect him to services, and there was help. Many people like that. But when we started the Catholic Action Center, the area is the highest crime, lowest income, lowest education area. When we began at 5th and Chestnut, Bluegrass Aspendale was down the street. We went there to be able to minister to those folks as well as those who may not have a place. But basically, you know, it's a blessing for us. And every day now, how many people we serve? We average 103 at the Community Inn. The Community Inn is set up only for adults, men and women, both separate areas, but we have averaged 103 for the past 4.5 years when I take all numbers. Just to laugh about this a minute, I was a tax accountant in my former life before I met these folks on the street and was drawn to the fact that we as community have a responsibility to those who don't fit into programs because we're people of faith. But so I love numbers. I would love to know how many toilets we've had flushed, really. That's the one I don't have. But we've had 875,000 nights of shelter since we opened. We've served 5.2 million meals through the Catholic Action Center. All that is donated food. That's one thing people need to understand. We have not been a cost to the city. We're not part of that network in any way because we are based on taking care of people's needs directly and then connecting them to the wonderful services that are funded by the city.
Sounds like you have that well documented in terms of the services provided. Now, let's come back to Angela Evans, council member. There was a discussion, there was some debate, the final decision to actually approve the move to the Industry Road location was a council vote of 11-3, and you were among those who voted against it. Let's talk a little about that, and I'm sure that was not an easy choice and the reasons behind that.
Right. No, it wasn't. And yeah, the way it was presented to council, I mean, we knew that there had been lawsuits going on, and we weren't privy to that, you know, because that's something they want to shield us from and legally need to do. So there were some concern, issues, frustration that this deal was brought to us, and it was so time-sensitive that you know, we didn't have any input in it, and it just was like, this is the best deal. This is the way to get rid of the lawsuits. And, you know, that never goes, being a lawyer myself, you know, I understand that sometimes that's the only thing you can do. It's in mediation when you've got both parties agreeing to it. Quite honestly, I think the council kind of felt like they were just backed into a corner, but understanding that it was the legal advice that it would be the best option. You know, you have to go with your attorneys generally, so the majority of the council did. My district includes Eastland neighborhood, which isn't a part of the Eastland Shopping Center, which is where the new center will actually be, but it certainly abuts it. And so they were very much concerned about that. And
these are citizens or businesses or from people living in the area?
Yes, these are people living in the area. There's the Eastland neighborhood, which crosses over New Circle Road, which is in the 6th District. But then the Eastland Shopping Center / Industry Road is in the 5th District. And that is more of the merchant retail. But again, it is still very nearby within walking distance. And that was the concern constituents had that, you know, we have seen the lines at the community inn because it's not far away, right on Winchester Road. And had heard some stories from neighbors, you know, that where neighborhoods do back up and, you know, horror stories. And, you know, and everybody, you know, one apple ruins the bunch kind
of situation. It's called not in my backyard, right? Is it the kind of issue that people are concerned when something comes to the neighborhood that may not have been there before?
Well, I don't really feel comfortable categorizing it like that because the Eastland neighborhood, they are very much involved. You know, individually they have people who are very much involved in all aspects of social services and had two very vocal opponents who were also constituents but also have a business that was almost right next to where the center's going to be. So, but still very much involved in the community in services. So I hesitate to categorize it in the not my backyard because that really isn't their attitude.
It's not a resistance to change or resistance to providing the services, but just a concern about resolving the issues that might be there?
Right, because there are, you know, that Eastland neighborhood also has the issue with the Continental Inn property. So, you know, they've already got a large property that, you know, they'd been concerned with for years and the less than stellar behavior that had gone on over there. So they were just concerned, honestly, that things would trickle over into that neighborhood and had some valid concerns.
So the vote was taken. The decision is made. The move is going to occur, and we understand it's not likely to be completed until perhaps early next year. How are you with that, and how are your constituents with that final decision now?
Well, it's done. I mean, you always go with the majority. That's what democracy is. So the Eastland neighborhood did recently have a neighborhood association meeting, and the police, the police chief was in attendance and gave some, a little more background. I wasn't able to stay for the entire meeting, but I'm hoping and expect that they were given a little more resolve and understanding about what was going on and the concerns the neighbors were having, and they were expressing that that they were going to be there and what their plans were or are to help alleviate any concerns of crime increasing. And, you know, I hate to say, you kind of put those two hand in hand, because, again, everyone that's homeless is not a criminal.
Right.
So, and I don't think the neighborhood thinks that, but it is just certainly hearing different things that had gone on. You know, it is a vulnerable population. And even if that population isn't committing those criminal acts, you know, that people will prey on them. So it was more of, you know, who else is going to be in the neighborhood as well, and not necessarily just the homeless, the people who were going to be served.
We certainly want to get to our listeners, and I know there's one caller waiting on the line, Sean, whom we'll get to for sure. And we certainly invite you to get on the line at 800-621-8890 or send an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Before we need to take a short break, Jenny Ramsey, because of the concerns that were raised and because of the debate before council, will there be anything done differently at the new site at Industry Road to alleviate concerns for those who live or conduct business in the neighborhood?
Well, I think one of the major changes is going to be that the space is available to do some of the things we've always wanted to do. Keep in mind, we're a non-funded, faith-based, volunteer organization. You know, we depend on the community, and the community has supported us for 16 years. We have over 12,000 volunteers a year who help with our ministry. So being able to have different space for our folks, be an open 24/7, that's it right there. That changes our people needing to not only travel, those who are elderly, those who are disabled, have to walk a mile, which is what they've had to do. Now, all the care, plus, as we already do, we have the different social service organizations come to the center or to the inn to try to connect with our vulnerable folks who won't go to them. Because you've got to remember, we have those who are suffering with mental illness, who are disabled, who are disconnected. We elderly, and those vulnerable folks need the services, but they need the services brought to them. And we have a wonderful relationship with a lot of our service providers, and they're so excited. In fact, I just got a text from Phil Gunning of NAMI. I mean, they're one of our big partners. So we're looking forward to the fact that the space is going to allow our people to be served with greater dignity and safety.
We're looking forward to hearing from listeners in the final segment of this week's Eastern Standard. WEKU Eastern Standard@gmail.com is our email. Give us a call, 800-621-8890. It is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations discussing homelessness in Lexington and Central Kentucky. You're welcome to be part of the program, WEKU Eastern Standard@gmail.com, or call 800-621-8890. We do have a number of listeners who want to interact with us. And our guests, Angela Evans, Lexington Council member representing the 6th District, and Jenny Ramsey, director of the Catholic Action Center and Community Inn. Let's go first to line two, and we will talk to Sean from Lexington, who has been patient with us, holding on the line. Sean, thanks for being with us. Go right ahead with your question or your comment.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to talk. I want to say one thing. I know Charlie and Jenny both, and they do wonderful work in our community. I personally have worked for the Hope Center for over 13 years, a shelter here in Lexington that also worked with the Catholic Action Center. My question and comment is a little bit off topic, and I apologize for that. Since the Affordable Care Act was passed and Connect started helping guys get Medicaid, I have signed up close to 550 individuals, homeless, mostly homeless adult men, to Medicaid. Well, they just passed a new policy trying to get guys with their addresses to get their addresses up to date, that if any mail is returned, the Medicaid gets suspended. Well, for you and I, that's not a major issue. We change our address and we get our mail. But for the homeless population, who often don't have really good permanent addresses, they get mail at the shelter. Well, shelters a lot of times have a mail policy where they return mail after so many weeks. So what's happening is a lot of the homeless population that have had Medicaid and have been getting services, if they have one piece of mail, whether it's a survey, whether it's just information, anything that's sent back could turn off the Medicaid. Now, as of today, I've been on the phone this week for approximately 4 hours trying to get guys suspended Medicaid turned back on. I've contacted several people in the community trying to figure out a way around this policy or a way that we can make an exception or special accommodation for the homeless population that seemed to be just really undue burden.
Is there a question in that, Sean? Let Jenny has a response for you here. Let's let Jenny get into the conversation.
Hey, Sean, listen.
Yes, ma'am.
You need to get hold of David Christensen with Chickie. We had this discussion at our last meeting this month in September.
Right.
We are also very concerned because our policy is we hold the mail for 6 months. Quite often our people may be in the hospital, maybe in jail, maybe somewhere else that we – now it becomes even more critical. And I'm so happy you brought up that piece because you and I both know what it means for our folks to have that coverage.
I mean, we
are seeing people, mental health, physical health, et cetera. We also have one volunteer with us who is working directly on that. Carol, I won't give her last name on air, but if you want to call God's Net, and let's see if we can't jointly with David and Chickie address the seriousness of this, because as I understand, nobody is cut off yet.
Okay. Sean, thank you so much for raising that issue and being part of today's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. 800-621-8890 is our phone number. You're welcome to send us an email to WEKUEasternStandard@gmail.com. And we'll acknowledge an email from Janet from Lexington in just a few moments after we go back to the phone and talk to, this will be Kay from Lexington. Kay, thank you for calling. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Oh, is it me?
It is you. You are on the air, Kay.
Okay. Yes, I wanted to say that I was diagnosed with bipolar, and I'm going to CompCare, but I was also homeless for a long time, and the Hope Center helped me to get a place, but it wasn't adequate housing. The shower didn't work, and was roach-infested, but they did give me a quilt, and they tried as well as they could. The Hope van, the RV, and they help a lot of people, but there are still, I know, need for help
So there's
the community.
So now
I have to rely on family.
You are now relying on family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They helped me get housing, and they're helping me pay for a place.
Well, that's certainly good to hear.
I fell through the cracks. See, I grew up in an upper middle class family, but I fell through the cracks, and I had mental illness, and I, for the first time, experienced violence because you can experience it on the streets. Mm. You see prostitution and drugs and things like that.
Well, Kay, we're really grateful
to get out of the cycle.
Sure, really glad you called to tell your story, and we're going to ask Jenny and Council Member Angela Evans to respond to your story.
Thank you for this program. It's really necessary, and good luck to all the hardworking people who help the homeless.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. Take care of yourself. This is Eastern Standard, 800-621-8890. Jenny, your response to the concerns that Kay raises.
Well, Kay gave a good example of what can happen to anyone. As Kay said, she was not from a situation that, She came from a secure situation, and because of no fault of her own. Now, I believe that all folks are no fault of their own when they end up on the streets, but, you know, it's tough. I don't think people realize how often we have our folks who are diagnosed with mental illness in later life, and this happens too. How many people we have that are 50 and over who are, like Kay, struggling to be able to make it. Thank God she had the connection of family. I know that many people have worked to try to get her secure because she deserves the dignity and safety of a home.
So she's an example of why you're providing the services that you are providing in Lexington. Councilmember Angela Evans, let's talk about the city's... Again, we know the city has made a commitment to providing this new facility and has provides Charlie Lanter in the position of as coordinator for homelessness prevention and services. Why is it important for the city, city government, to be involved in providing these services?
Well, gosh, I think that kind of goes to probably what the Pope was talking about today, that... Just we as citizens, I mean, government in general, I believe, and I'll a little disclosure, I've got a social work bachelor's degree as well, so.
And a law degree.
and a law degree, so, and I was raised Baptist, but, and, you know, I came from the belief that we are here to help, you know, that is, you know, the gospel, you know, and that's what we're told to do. And we have incorporated that in our government, and even from a non-theological perspective, you know, we do just have an obligation to take care or at least provide some services, help to those who can't help themselves, the least of us. So that's kind of where I come from, and I think we've just ingrained that in our government. And the question is, how much assistance do we provide? You know, it'd be great if all of our churches were doing everything that they're supposed to do, and government perhaps wouldn't need to be involved, but it's been part of our government life for, you know, decades and centuries at this point that we do provide.
I know
something.
The mayor and council have focused their energies on affordable housing issues, and yeah. Of course, homelessness is the ultimate in an affordable housing issue. Whether it's, you know, for whatever reasons, whether it's for a matter of business purposes or just in, you know, overall economic development, the city has made a commitment to providing these services. I mean, do you feel, as a council member relatively new on the council, that I think we know Jenny's opinion of it, but does the city provide enough in terms of those kinds of support services?
Well, no, I don't believe we provide enough, but I'm not so sure it's our obligation to provide everything. Hmm. And that's why we do have nonprofits. You know, I think it's just part, again, is our human nature that people want to help. So you do have a lot of nonprofits that are doing the work that government, we just don't have the funds to provide. Those are very expensive services. And, you know, when you're talking about basic government needs and what we really are supposed to do, we can't provide all of those funds that are required to do that. So we do provide. I think the previous council did a lot. I believe $3 million to be divided into to certain nonprofits, and there's an entirely separate process for that we just went through. So we have determined that. Yes, we do have a role to play, but we cannot be the sole provider of all of those services.
Kind of the balance that the elected officials need to strike there. 800-621-8890, our phone number. You can send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. About 10 minutes remaining in this week's program as we talk about the issues of homelessness in Lexington and Central Kentucky. Here is an email from Janet in Lexington who writes, are there volunteer opportunities available to help Lexington's homeless, including hands-on involvement? And she refers specifically to Pope Francis, who spoke of Dorothy Day as an example of a model American. And Janet says, I hope his words bring much needed awareness to the important work that she did in her life to help her fellow homeless Americans.
Absolutely.
Jenny Ramsey, what a perfect day for you to be on our program.
No, I mean, that's what we're about. You know, we are all volunteer. We are all not, you know, no one's paid. Some people laugh and say, you do that for nothing. I said, no, I do it for the blessings. I get to meet the folks every day. But we would like to encourage you to get hold of us by email, which is caclex2000@gmail.com. Call our office, which is 514-7210. We need hands and hearts. That's how we operate. We do it all from the goodness of folks who want to make a difference. We have volunteer training several times a year. We do one-on-one with those who are just so on fire to get involved. But we keep it simple. And it is only with all of us together can we make a difference in the lives of our folks we're called to serve.
You speak about folks who want to work to make a difference. You work for the Catholic Action Center. Talk about how the community comes together, despite that you're working under the label and the brand, as it were, of your specific religious background. I mean, I assume there are others besides Catholics involved.
Remember what Catholic means. It means universal. It's our universal call. And that we are, yes, I am a Catholic. And many of the people who worked toward founding the Catholic Action Center are. We're not part of the official Catholic Church. We love our bishop. We love, in fact, when we started the center, in order to keep a connection, we raised the money for the building and gave it to the diocese. That was important because Catholic workers across the country, by the way, there are 187 Catholic workers across the world as far as houses of hospitality. Ours is at 5th and Chestnut, and it will be at 1055 Industry Road, hopefully. But what we do is simply bring together those people of faith, people of the community. You don't have to be of a certain faith. You don't have to be of a background that has given you the training. This is about people making a difference in other people's lives. Dorothy Day was able to show the folks in New York and to shame many people to realize that all the suffering that was going on in their streets. Sometimes I think that that's what we have had to do, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I think our call is to awareness. Our call is to justice for our folks. But our first call is to serve those who are not being served.
I'll toss this out to our listeners as well. Are there concerns about services of this type being associated with religious faith and being provided by organizations that are faith-based organizations? How do you feel about the providing of homelessness services in Lexington and Central Kentucky in these last few minutes of our program? 800-621-8899. 90. We're glad to have your feedback and input on our program and, of course, as we talk about the services in the community.
I have to say something to that one. Listen, Matthew 25 is pretty clear. Jesus said what we're required to do. That's why when we say faith-based, is it a problem? We are not funded by any particular faith base. We have 128 churches and faith organizations that participate with us. And
say that again, 128?
128 that are involved. And they're from, I always say, our folks who support us are from the agnostics through the Zen Buddhists. It's A through Z. Every type of either faith or community caring. Because I think our Pope has said it beautifully in the past couple of days. We are all one community. And he was speaking, of course, of global community. But I want to take that to the place that here in Lexington, whether it be you're in 40508, which is where the center is, or if you were in 40502, or if you're in 40517, the zip codes, it doesn't matter. We're all part of the same community.
Jenny Ramsey, Director of the Catholic Action Center and Community Inn. With us also Angela Evans, Council Member for the 6th District in Lexington. Your reactions to these?
Well, I would agree with that you don't necessarily have to be, obviously you don't have to be Catholic to want to serve, but there are several other non-religious ways that are organizations that, if you don't feel comfortable working with a religious organization, there are other organizations that do that. I mean, and I can't think of all of them off the top of my head, but you can go to the Hope Center and serve. I mean, they're always looking for people to serve. There are different churches. If you aren't Catholic, but I go to a Presbyterian church, and we've got women of the church that are always looking for volunteers to serve lunch at different kind of not soup kitchens, but Hope Center, and make sack lunches and all those things. So I would say if you don't know where to start, Charlie Lanter is a perfect place to start. If you have parameters on organizations that you do or don't want to work with, always start with Charlie or your own religious faith or organization, and you call me 258-3210. Call my office, and I can certainly help get you connected.
We'll have links to both Angela Evans and Jenny Ramsey's services on our website at weku.fm. Jenny, in just a minute's time, how do things move forward here? We know, again, the new facility at Industry Road is not likely to be open until spring of next year. But what's going to be happening between now and then?
Well, we have a lot to do. Not only were our architects going in, but, before that, we have to finalize the agreement, because this is based on court and the Department of Justice investigation. And we will be walking through to be sure that we're all able to be holding hands when this deal is done. We will remain as a separate entity. We're not part of the funding of the government. We're not trying to be. We simply want to serve our people. But we've got there'll be a lot of good opportunities for people to help us. As the judge who had worked on it said, Jenny, just don't call me and say you need me to come paint. I'll come clean floors, but not paint. But we'll need helpers all through it.
Well, thank you, Jenny Ramsey, co-founder and director of the Catholic Action Center and the Community Inn in Lexington, and Angela Evans, a Lexington council member representing the 6th District. Thanks for this conversation today, helping us understand what's happening in terms of services for the homeless in Lexington and Fayette County.
Thank you.
Eastern Standard is a production of the WEKU stations at Eastern Kentucky University. We also want to say thank you to Charlie Lanter, coordinator of homelessness services for Lexington Fayette County Urban Government, for being part of today's program. Our associate producer for today's show is Andrew Moorhead. Our technical director is Brian Bartlett. Noah Day has been on the phones. And we are interested in hearing your comments about our program at any time. WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Listen to the podcast or the repeat of the show. It's on the air Sunday evening at 6 as well. I'm John Hingsbergen for Eastern Standard on WEKU.